This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Taking a look to your grain futures from the Chicago Board of Trade from the close last Friday. Corn finished lower, with July finishing at 442 and a quarter, down 7 3/4. September corn was to 447 and a half, down 7 1/4. And December corn was to 453 and a half, down 7 1/2. Soybeans fell sharply lower last Friday. July beans were to 902 and 3/4, down 12 3/4. August beans were to 908 and a half, down 13 1/4. And September beans were to 914 and 3/4, down 13 1/4. Chicago wheat for July was lower to 526, down a half. September wheat was to 530 and 3/4, down a penny. And December wheat remained steady at 541 and a half. Soybean meal for July was lower, down 7.40 to 3.15.60. August bean meal was to 3.17 even, down 7.20. And September bean meal was to 3.18.80, down 7.10. Finally, soybean oil for July was down 15 cents to 28.44. August bean oil was to 28.57, down 15 as well. And September bean oil was to 28.69, down 14. Now we'll take you to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for Friday's Cash Grain Report.
This is Friday's reported grain price and trend prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were lower on Friday afternoon. The National Weather Service forecast of cool and wet for July, and a private forecaster say warm and dry for July. The grain trade is trying to decide which is correct. In northern West Illinois country, grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 6 to 8 lower at 401 to 436. Soybean bids are down 13 cents at 823 to 864. In central Illinois country, grain dealers quoted shell corn bids down 2 to 7 at 422 to 447. Soybean bids are 12 to 13 lower at 845 to 888. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids are 5 to 11 lower, 407 to 466. Soybean bids are 12 to 14 lower at 859 to 892, and wheat bids are down 1 to 6 cents at 505 to 540. Illinois soybean processor case soybean bids are down 13 cents at 882 to 911. Basis is unchanged at 21 under to 8 over the July. High pro soybean meal on a truck basis offered at 305.60 to 318.60 a ton, down $7.40 a ton, with basis steady at 10 under to 3 over the July. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were 8 cents lower at 442 to 462, with basis unchanged at option to 20 over the July. Illinois river barge loading elevated quoted to producer corn bids 8 cents lower at 424 to 439, with basis unchanged at 18 under to 3 under the July. Soybeans ended down 13 cents at 876 to 881, with basis steady at 27 under to 22 under the July. New crop wheat prices were a penny lower at 511 to 520, with basis unchanged at 15 under to option to July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal obvious place their producer corn bids 7 to 8 cents lower at 456 to 458. These elevators lowered their soybean prices 13 cents. Quotations at 903 to 908. Soft wheat closed down a penny at 556 to 562. And Milo ended the day 7 to 8 cents lower at 466 to 467. And contract bids producers for October and November delivery corn in the northern part of the state at 405 to 434. Soybeans at 851 to 873. In the central part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 421 to 440. Soybeans at 864 to 898. And in the southern part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 408 to 451. Soybeans at 861 to 893. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Moving on to your livestock futures from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange from Friday's close, live cattle were lower for June, down $1.62 to 106.55. August live cattle were to 102.22, down $1.72. And October live cattle were to 104.15, down $1.42. Feeders were lower as well. August feeders were to 133.67, down $1.02. September feeders were to 134.05, down $1.32. And October feeders were to 134.50, also down $1.32. Finally, lean hogs for July were lower to $76.25, down $3. August lean hogs were to $77.90, down $3 as well. And October lean hogs were to $72.72, also down $3. Now we'll take you to the Illinois Department of Agriculture once more this morning for last Friday's Cash Livestock Report.
This is the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Friday afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for 200-pound park carcass traded 69 cents lower, in a range of $65 to $76, with a weighted average carcass price of $74.03. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sow price were weak, with light to moderate demand for light to moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds traded 24 to 30, 4 to 5 weighted 26 to 33, 5 to 6 weighted 28 to 36, in over 600 pounds, $30 to $38. In the Illinois direct hog trade, prices for barrels and gilts country buying points were steady, with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranged from $47 to $51. Receipts for Illinois barrels and gilts a total of $20,370. In the direct cattle trade, in the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, choice steers and live bases trade at $108 to $113.50, and on address bases at $176 to $183. Choice heifers and live bases trade at $110 to $112.50 and on address bases at $176 to $178. From the National Daily Pork Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established with 255 loads traded. Calculations for 200-pound pork carcass was $76.73, which is 71 cents lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses are trading lower. Choice carcasses are $219.82. which is 90 cents lower, while select carcasses are $199.55, which is $1.93 lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated 118,000 compared to 118,000 last week, 118,000 1 year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated 462,000 compared to 467,000 last week and 423,000 1 year ago. That concludes our livestock report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Taking a look at international ag news that happened last week on this Monday morning, U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer talked trade during an appearance before the House Ways and Means Committee last week. He told committee members that he's hopeful the U.S. and Japan are close to a deal on agricultural tariff cuts. He says the key to reaching a bilateral trade agreement with Japan is resolving those differences over ag tariffs. According to various media reports, Lighthizer says that he's hopeful that we'll come to an agreement in the next several weeks. It's a high priority. He also says the principal thing we're trying to do is to get agriculture access equal to what the Japanese have given to the TPP countries. The trade industry website MeetingPlace.com points out that one of President Trump's first acts in the Oval Office was to withdraw the U.S. from negotiations over the multilateral Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement. Hillary Clinton had also been crucial of the pact during the most recent presidential campaign. The U.S. and Japan are scheduled to have more trade discussions this week during the Group of 20 summit meeting in Osaka, Japan. The negotiations have been ongoing since April. Taking a look at national news, pressure is building on House Democrats to allow a vote on the U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade agreement that replaces NAFTA. President Trump weighed in on the political hurdles that still face the USMCA. Trump corrected one reporter during an Oval Office exchange when the reporter asked when instead of if the USMCA is approved.
I have to get the Democrats to approve it, all right? So I like your positive thinking, but if, and the if is really subject to the Democrats, let's see what happens. But I really believe that Nancy Pelosi and the House will approve it. I think the Senate will approve it rapidly. It's going to be very bipartisan. It's great for the farmers, manufacturers.
But Democrats claimed in two hearings last week that they weren't ready, that the deal needs some tougher labor and environmental enforcement guarantees, something Trade Ambassador Lighthizer vowed to work on with Democrats. Trump and other Republicans raise the specter of politics.
I hope politically they can do what they have to do. Now, a day after the election, it would win with a tremendous support. But we have an election coming up. But I think Nancy Pelosi is going to do the right thing.
Mexico Senate just ratified the USMCA last week, 114-4, and Canada's Prime Minister Justin Trudeau was here with President Trump on Capitol Hill lobbying Democrats to pass the deal.
We were very pleased with the lifting of the tariffs on steel and aluminum.
Clearing a key impediment and allowing Trudeau to promise to call his parliament back into session as soon as the U.S. Congress ratifies the USMCA. Trump says the deal would put all three nations on better footing to compete with the rest of the world, benefiting many sectors here.
The farmers are really happy with it. The manufacturers are very happy. Mexico is thrilled. You saw the vote. It was a very lopsided in a positive way vote, a great vote. And I think it's going to be something very special. Again, it's the largest trade deal by far ever entered into, and we're very close to having finalized it. It means a lot of jobs for our country, a lot of wealth for all three countries,
including some $2.2 billion in new sales for U.S. growers. Almost 1,000 farm and food groups wrote congressional leaders this month to pass the USMCA. Late last week, President Trump declared that a major disaster exists in Mississippi. He's ordered federal assistance to help supplement state and local recovery efforts after severe storms, tornadoes, straight-line winds, and flooding did a large amount of damage on April 13th and 14th. Federal funding is available to state and eligible local governments, as well as private nonprofit organizations on a cost-sharing basis for emergency work, as well as repairing or replacing facilities that suffered damage. The disaster declaration covers eight different counties in Mississippi. Trump also approved a disaster declaration in Kansas and ordered supplemental recovery assistance for state and local government agencies there as well. Kansas was hit by several storms, straight-line winds, tornadoes, flooding, landslides, and mudslides beginning on April 29th and continuing thereafter. The declaration covers 53 counties within Kansas. Federal funding is also available on a cost-sharing basis for hazard mitigation measures statewide. And in our last national story for this Monday morning, the Risk Management Agency says farmers who planted cover crops on Prevent Plant acres will be allowed to hay, graze, or chop those fields earlier than normal this year. RMA Administrator Martin Barbary says a lot of thought went into the decision to move up the final haying and grazing date on those acres from November 1st to September 1st.
We've had a lot of calls, a lot of questions, even some congressional inquiries about is there anything that RMA and USDA could do to help, you know, with the significant challenges producers are facing this year, not only with getting crops planted, but the lack of being able to plant forage crops and have that availability this fall and winter. So we looked at the issue, did a lot of back and forth discussions among the department trying to figure out what we could do, what we couldn't do. We finally got to a point where we felt like we could do this.
Barbary says the changes in dates is only good for this year.
We've changed that hay and grazing date for 2019 only. I want to make that very specific. It's for 2019 only. We changed that date to September 1st. And along with that, we've also determined that silage, haylage, and baleage will be treated the same way as haying and grazing for this year. So that will allow producers to not only hay those cover crops, but possibly chop them for silage as well.
Barbary, a family farmer from Illinois, says they don't yet have the numbers of Prevent Plant acres totaled up. However, he does know the number of acres is going to be very high.
We're anticipating a record number of Prevent Plant claims and acres this year. We don't know, obviously don't know yet. We're not to the acres reporting date yet, and producers are still in some areas of the country still making those decisions as we speak. That was one reason we wanted to try to get this out as quick as we could so those producers that have made those decisions can go ahead and get those cover crops planted and give them time to get some growth before September 1st. It's a tough year, but that's why RMA is here. That's why the government and Congress wants to provide crop insurance for producers, and in my mind, it not only protects the producer, but it protects the rural communities that service those producers where they live, and so we just think it's a very good program for American agriculture.
He says it doesn't matter what challenges producers across the country are facing, the RMA is designed to help them through those obstacles. He says flooding isn't the only challenge farmers are facing this year. Parts of rural America are facing the complete opposite of flooding challenges.
Exactly. That's what we're here for these challenging times. And obviously, we're having a challenging time with all the flooding and rain going on across the country. We've even got areas of the country that are in a bit of a drought at the same time. So we're hitting some prevent plant claims from those areas. So the weather has been pretty tough, and we're here to help producers through those tough times.
Again, that's RMA Administrator Martin Barbre. Taking a look at state ag news, Central Illinois Congressman Darren LaHood and the Illinois Farm Bureau are among those that are calling on Governor Pritzker to make a disaster declaration for the state in order to help farmers plagued by both the wet weather and the ongoing strife in the world trade. Currently, the governor is looking at making declarations on behalf of specific counties. State Representative Dan Swanson points out, however, that a county-by-county declaration would not be enough to help farmers who do business in counties that may not qualify for a disaster declaration.
What Senator LaHood, and I think the bigger discussion we're having with the governor is, we need to declare the state as a whole as opposed to cherry-picking different counties. We need to look at the whole state because, you know, if Henry County is declared a natural a disaster area, farmers in Henry County do business with, if they live near Bureau County, they do business with Bureau FS, which would not be a part of that list, possibly. So, you know, it's a big picture, and there's two ways we have to go about it. One, to look at our small businesses through the state declaring those counties disaster areas, and then they can get federal support through the Small Business Administration. But farmers' support would come through the FSA office, those Farm Service Administration.
Governor Pritzker is said to be weighing all options while negotiating with the Farm Services Administration, among others, before making a decision to make a disaster declaration. Moving on to local ag news, the swine show was held last Friday at the Montgomery County Fair, and we have the results from the action last week. The grand champion Duroc went to Ian Gwillem of Shipman. The first place Yorkshire Gilt went to Atticus Bertolino of Witt, and second place Yorkshire Gilt went to Ian Gwillem of Shipman. The first place Yorkshire Barrow went to Kylie Neisler of Raymond, and the grand champion Yorkshire went to Atticus Bertolino of Witt. The first place Barrow in all other breeds went to Sidney Kestler of Milford, and the grand champion in all other breeds went to Kylie Neisler of Raymond. The first place crossbred Gilt went to Kylie Neisler of Raymond. The first place crossbred Barrow went to Atticus Bertolino of Witt. And the grand champion crossbred Barrow also went to Atticus Bertolino as well. Coming up later this week is the Macoupin County Fair at the fairgrounds in Carlinville. We'll have results from the livestock fair there, as well as interviews from other individuals involved in agriculture in Macoupin County. And we'll have that for you this week on the morning and afternoon farm show. So for this Monday morning, June 24th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting for WSMI Ag News.